Full Service Radio is proudly supported and hosted by Simplecast, the easiest way for a podcast creator to publish and distribute audio on the internet. For more information, visit Simplecast.com.
Full Service Radio.
Hey.
Hey, that beat that I like.
Hey. I almost forgot we were on. And so you just started doing that. Thank you for that. Hey.
Hello.
Reminding me where I am.
Where am I?
Where What's am I, you on? Guys? What's going on?
Who are you?
Girl, who am I? Is the question. Everyone.
Too deep of a question.
Everyone, welcome.
Welcome.
Welcome to the Beauty RKO.
Willkommen.
Willkommen.
Willkommen, welcome.
Welcome to the BDRKO, your fashion history comedy podcast, broadcasting live on Full Service Radio here at the Line Hotel in Washington, D.C.
Full Service.
So every week, Alexia likes to throw in like an extra new sound effect, and we appreciate that.
We do.
Just keep going, like keep doing it.
We love it. Keeps us on our toes.
I'm your host, Professor Noir, with
Mix Mundi.
Mix Mundi. There's a crowd behind us outside the Glass Enclosed Nerve Center. It is Vox Media. Is that who they is?
Yeah.
That's who they is? It's Vox Media.
Yeah.
We just want to tell y'all, here, just wave at Vox.
Y'all cute.
Wave at Vox.
We're just little
wave
fishies
them.
In our little fishbowl in the middle
fishies.
Of this giant crowd.
Little fishies. God. Should we flash them?
I mean, I'm halfway there already.
I'm ready to do it. Well, basically, Vox, if you're listening, the Beauty RKO would like to do your fashion history segments on YouTube and through your online media. So just hit us up. The Beauty RKO on Instagram. You can DM us.
We're
anytime.
The witches in the glass enclosed
We're
nerve
the
center.
Witches in the glass enclosed nerve center.
Waving at you.
Waving at you. And we just want you to know that
we are out here
ready for you to hire us and pay us money. You know, not like a crazy salary, you know, but just like something reasonable.
I mean, crazy's okay too.
Where I can go at like 2 vacations a year.
Right.
That's what I would like. Yep. But I'm just letting you know, Vox, we just want to work for you. Mundy's like, I don't want to work for Vox. I was like, I do. I love their history little clips. They get me through the day.
No, they're cool.
I'm just getting things
Ooh,
out.
Oh, do you see this one?
Oh, I see this one. Oh, hello, shoes.
Come on, red snake.
Come on,
skin
red.
Pumps?
Red snake skin booty pumps to the club.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
The ADD is real.
It is real.
It
is real. Well, this is the closet clean section of our show. We like to just, you know, get our feelings out. And just, I know, I'm wearing a shoe. I'm wearing a shoe right now. Okay, so we're wearing, okay, well, we need to talk about your bra.
You do keep looking at my titties.
Because, well,
I mean, you have
the piping of a bra, but none of the inside. Oh, okay. I was so confused.
It's like a harness situation.
I was like, are you wearing like the idea of a bra around your boobs? Or like,
it's, I love like a nod to kink in daily wear. So anything that looks like I'm wearing a harness under my clothes, I'm very about it.
Well, it's
just
really
a little
sexy.
Peek-a-boo.
It's really sexy.
Thank you.
It's really sexy. I hope you're not going to go do your muggle work soon.
I am, but I'm going to wear a t-shirt
okay.
over this.
I was going to say.
This is just for you, baby.
Because the other muggles will be shocked.
They'll be like, oh. I did wear my they, them, theirs t-shirt
that works.
To work the other day.
But
though.
That's like the muggles need to learn.
Exactly. And I got compliments.
And by
it
the way,
awesome.
I'm using this. Ooh, he's really gorgeous. I like this hair on you, sir. By the way, I'm using the muggle term just because it's just a great term to use. Thank
it's
you, J.K.
A fun
Rowling.
Word, yeah.
It's just a great term. We are rounding out the end of Fashion Month,
mm-hmm.
where all the ready-to-wear collections are being shown. And this goes into my outfit. I was watching the Balenciaga collection.
Yes.
And the group for Vetements, they, every now and then I like them, sometimes I don't. Mm-hmm. They're hit or miss for me, but they're very great craftsmen in terms of like how they play with silhouettes, so I always respect them for that. This past collection was amazing.
Yeah.
Was absolutely amazing. I also think that this is another moment where I feel that people are stalking me and there are drones watching what I wear because there are way too many men in this collection wearing full turtleneck cat suits
yes.
as day wear. And I was like, that is my entire winter wardrobe. Alexa, you know that. You've seen it. You see me in the cat suits.
I feel the same way. I mean, it's just like, you know, the cross we bear as trendsetters.
I think they're watching
us. I was doing that last season.
I was. I'm still doing that. But I think they're watching me. Also, there was this gorgeous look of this very thin, long African-American young man wearing this gorgeous red chiffon dress.
Oh.
And like the thigh-high boot shoes, like pants with it. Oh my God, it was just gorgeous. And just walking, and just I was like, I've never felt more represented by a fashion show ever in my life until this moment.
Fabulous.
Like they finally got it right. Like it wasn't overdone. It's just like body, uh-huh. dress, skin. Everything.
Everything you need.
And then the runway was like they were walking on water. You need to watch this collection. I don't know if you saw it.
Yeah, no, I have seen parts
of it. But like they were walking on water and then like there was this huge screen above the water. So it was like changing colors and
amazing.
Textures. It was really beautiful. But I'm wearing this like crazy, sacky, like button down cotton dress.
Yeah, it's like a collared shirt tunic.
Yeah,
kind of vibe.
Like dress. It's very huge.
Good for it.
It's mm-hmm. really, it's really huge.
Oh, these guys are about to come in.
Hi,
here.
How are you guys? Don't come in yet, but hi. Because we're filming, we're recording, not filming, we're recording. Ooh. Like, we're filming as well.
For us. They were really descending.
Yeah, they
us.
Almost like, they opened the door. I was like, oh, don't. This is not this is not an exhibition.
I did not like that.
I didn't like that either. I was like, these white men are coming for us.
Yeah, I'm wearing this because I was very inspired by that collection. Because it was like, here come the witches, like the most fashionable witches in the world.
Yes, and it seems like it's just this tunic. And then he said, we're out here, and you pull out this thigh-high lace-up.
My thigh-high.
I mean, speaking of kink in everyday wear,
my first pair of actual thigh-high sneaker boots I've ever purchased.
Like, where is the riding crop that goes with those?
Not to be confused with my second pair of thigh-high sneaker boots that I own.
Not to be confused. No.
Because I own so my roommate, love her to death, like, said the other day, she was just like, no one told me I'd be moving in with Imelda Marcos.
Did she listen to the Imelda episode that we
did? No, it wasn't that. Uh-huh. Although everyone should listen to that episode because it's a really fun episode. That's
one
a crazy
of my
woman.
Yes.
But I was like, I guess I am Imelda Marcos. I do really own a lot of shoes. Yeah. I really own a lot of shoes. And there's like spilled back out into the house, into
you
the
know
living
I
room.
Too.
Yeah. And she's just like, I thought that you just weren't using the shoe racks that you bought, but I realized that those were full and that there's just more shoes.
Always more shoes.
Well, when there's deals at the end of the season,
it's a trap.
It's a trap.
And I fall for it every
time. It's a
time.
Trap. And I really have a problem with thigh highs.
I love shoes.
I love thigh high boots. Well, let's take a hot break. Do you want to take a little break?
Sure.
Let's take a little break. Ooh, actually, before we take a break, this goes into our subject for the day, but there's a really wonderful article. We just pulled up on Facebook. On the Book of Faces, the
The
Intergalactic Book of Shadows. We posted it on, number one. Oh my God, this is actually really amazing because this is on Facebook right now. But a good friend of mine, transgender performer, entertainer, and Beyonce impersonator, Riley Knox, will be performing. And I don't know if she already has, but will be performing as the first transgender woman to perform an NBA halftime show.
I'm obsessed.
She's performing for the Washington Wizards.
Yeah. That is an appropriate.
That is, yeah. Like, yes. I actually saw her the other day. She's in Taylor Swift's, like, video that she, like, won, like, an MTV Video Award for last year.
Wow, good
like,
for her.
She's done so much and she worked so hard. I saw her the other day and I was like, I've been wanting to tell you this in person, but fuck yes. Like, yes. Like, everything you've done. Like, because I know, like, I've seen her work so hard for, like, the last, like, 10 years. You know, even when I was growing up, like, in the scene and everything, I'm just like, yeah, like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and there's, I mean, she's someone I really hope we have on for during the Pride season.
Totally.
So we're talking about that.
Our
and also Shaquita Lee, like, you know, a couple years ago, like, she was the first drag queen to perform at the White House. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like, so, like, we have some serious people in this city that do, like, who are doing groundbreaking things, literally.
Yes.
Like, literally.
Including ourselves, my friend.
Including ourselves.
Yes.
Also, but before we, like, go on a break, this also ties into what we're going to talk about, but there's a wonderful article on autostraddle.com called 7 Sensual Drag and Burlesque Acts Bringing Black Joy to DC.
Oh, yeah.
It's all, like, either female-embodied or drag king acts, and really amazing people. A lot of people I've worked with, like Magic Dyke.
I love Magic Dyke.
Like super big Black Milk.
Yeah.
Shay Monique, who I love, mm-hmm. absolutely love. A lot of really cool people. Lexi Starr and Pretty Ricky. I just wanted to shout out to all those people. Molasses as well. Oh God, Molasses. Like King Molasses. Oh.
Yes.
But I just want to shout out to all those people who really have change the game just by existing and doing the things that they believe in. And yes. This definitely goes into what we're going to talk about, which is, since we're ending our journey through the 1920s, the queer culture and visual world of LGBTQIA existence in the 1920s.
Yes.
So we'll be right back, everyone, after our little break, and we're going to talk about how gay the 20s were. Oh my God.
I don't want the break to end. And, I just want to keep having a dance party to this awesome song.
That's our song for now on for every break. That the break is over now. We're going to do that. Like, we need to have that for now on. Like, because that is the best song ever. I don't know if you, we always talk about Alexia. We've talked about Alexia several times on this episode so far. But she always, you go by she?
Yes.
Okay. Just got to check that, you know. It's a always, new world out there.
Absolutely.
Got to respect people. She always pulls out really fun, creative sounds and music for our show and just surprises us.
Because yeah. We were both just aghast.
Like, aghast. Every single break, people, you have to understand, she always just throws in a new fucking beat for us to dance to. We are twerking hard in always. This.
Y'all's faces is what I live for every week. Just like,
like, so good. You need to DJ at some point.
This is what I have been saying.
Yeah,
like,
I'll do a set on your show.
You should.
Oh, be still my heart.
We should. We should do that. We need to have, like, a fashion weekend.
And honey, like, every weekend is fashion weekend.
No, but we should, like, really do something. We should really do something. Like, because there are a lot of people that we know around here. It's interesting because, like, I, since that, sorry, you guys. This is the Beauty RKO.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Sorry, I forgot.
Hi, welcome.
Just to reintroduce
to the
you back.
Party.
We're here. We're here.
We out here.
You're here. We're all here. We out here.
That's my favorite thing to say.
EC. The Beauty RKO, your fashion history comedy podcast. I'm your host, Professor Noir, with
Mix Mundi.
We are out here.
Yes, we are.
And we're just, like, talking about way too many things right now. But... So, super fun, super crazy, the 1920s.
Yes.
And we have gone into flappers. We talked about Josephine Baker.
Mm-hmm. We talked about Zelda. Who, by the way, was totally queer.
Like, super queer. I'm talking about the bob haircut.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these, like, really amazing, these, like, trend-setting moments in a single decade. And actually, a lot of these things happen, like, right on top of each other. But today, to round out our entire... discussion and journey into the 20s, we are going to talk about what I like to call this episode, Victor Victoria. Wink, wink.
Wink, wink. Yes.
How the fashion in the queer identity of the roaring 20s. I did a very term paper, like, title for this.
I did too. Yeah.
I know, you did print out today.
Wait, I got notes.
You got full notes. Well, Mundi.
Yes.
We were talking about this yesterday, and you're like, I'm super fucking pumped. Do you want to go into this?
Yeah, let's get into it.
Lead the kids.
Let's get into it, children. In the late 19th century, there was an increasingly visible presence of gender nonconforming people who were engaged in sexual relationships with people of the same gender.
No. Can I throw something in there?
Of course.
Think about this, everyone. When we were saying late 19th century, this is the 1870s, 1880s, 1890s. What have we just come out of in America?
Right.
The Civil War.
Exactly.
Who died? A lot of fucking men.
Right.
What became very convoluted that we really don't talk about a lot in history? Gender roles.
Mm-hmm.
And how they play out. And this really sets a tone on how the explosion of queer expression, and not saying that all of a sudden people became queer, this is now, I feel like, a time where there was an openness for queer expression.
Yeah.
That there is always, people were always existing, but there's time for queer expression for people to actually come out.
Go exactly.
on. I'm so sorry, but I have
yes.
to talk about
no,
that.
No, it's okay. This is what we're doing.
Yeah, this is what we're doing. You have to set this tone, set the scene.
Yeah,
the
and you know, after World War One, just the economic growth and prosperity just like boomed, you know,
yes.
literally the booming 20s.
Yes.
Right? But yeah, and you know, people who would have earlier in the 1900s been referred to as like sex perverts or whatever were now being highlighted, and they were performers. There were a lot of, you know, performers and theaters like featuring stage performance of female impersonators.
Yes, exactly.
You know,
and
yeah.
And again, to say again, so like after Reconstruction, after the Civil War, and there's also other wars going on all over the world. I mean, the Crimean War for that beautiful land, like, that Russia wanted to hold. I mean, that was detrimental to the aristocracy and to gender roles. Again, in the
yeah.
presence of gender roles and what manliness meant, the fact that men failed. You know what I mean? Like, let's think about how,
wow.
you know what I mean? Like, that's the thing is, like, we don't think about psychologically the full perspective of how war affects us on
mm-hmm.
a whole.
Yeah.
Like, maybe we don't have PTSD. You know, we may not have had family members to go to war, but the perspective that war changes really adds a lot to it. And losing
yeah.
war and the idea of men being gallant and being brave and protecting and coming back and failing,
mm-hmm.
that changes things. That changes how people see or see the responsibility of men. That changes how men see themselves. And even more so, that changes how women see themselves and their responsibility in society.
Yeah.
And so for that, you have this openness of people questioning different gender roles,
mm-hmm.
different ways of existing, different ways of being, trying to find new understanding the necessarily traditional values that everyone had to adhere to.
Yeah.
Especially after World War One, that really just was like, we've broken the seal on this, let's go full throttle.
And people felt empowered to do so.
Exactly. People really felt empowered to do so.
Yeah.
As well, there's also a history of, you know, same-sex performers entertaining troops as well. So,
absolutely.
You know, you have this kind of breeding itself and coming out of times of war.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you had like the flappers who were, you know, in their boxy dresses, always having cigarettes and a cocktail, you know,
exactly.
which was a very big symbol of like defying feminine norms.
Mm-hmm. So it's interesting, too. So like in the early 1900s, before really like the whole thing took off in America, the way we know of it now, like Mundy said, you still had a growing like nightlife coming up.
And it was mainly in like Chicago and New York, specifically New York, in like Greenwich Village and in Harlem.
Exactly. And but also the thing is like that's what's being the most noted. But let's not forget about places like D.C., because
that
DC,
really does need to be included, seriously.
Because this
I don't know
is,
why D.C. always gets left out.
It
all
gets
this
left
stuff.
Out because people don't talk about Reconstruction. And D.C. is when Reconstruction is when D.C. really like fell on the map, where people
yeah.
were like, this is the place to be. Politics is happening here. Jobs are expanding here. Free African-Americans are moving here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like there's a lot going on. There's a really great book that I want to buy called Slumming, Sexual and Racial Encounters in American Nightlife.
That is literally the book
yes.
I was just about to
it's
get.
It's a really
Slumming.
Great book. I think both of us have quoted in some of the things we've like looked up, because it's very heavily quoted a lot when talking about nightlife. But it's
yeah, Chad Heap,
yes. And it's based on the period between 1885 to 1940, which we are talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And how the whole idea of the male sex pervert came about. And like, it's interesting to think about like what these balls were like, because they were like drag now. It is a personification of reality in some way.
Right.
And so
An exaggeration.
So like, I'm thinking, especially in the 1900s, this is like the height of like glamorous fashion too.
Yeah, this is where the balls started.
And
you
so,
know?
And the idea of the woman being so beautiful and the spreading of the information on how to achieve aesthetic femininity with the Gibson Girl and everything like
right.
that. And the magazines, Collier's and Vogue and Harper's Bazaar, and how, so if yes, if like women are picking up these magazines, I'm pretty sure gay men are picking up these magazines as
well.
And so you have now, again, more, this is a red shirt, girl. Yeah, sorry, glass enclosed nerve center. But you also now have this open spread of information to actually like create and become. And you also have access to more clothing as well. The industrial age allows access, lends access to more clothing as well, which is really cheaper clothing. So yeah, I'm just imagining like, you know, it's 1906 and like I'm with my boys and like we're going to these drag balls where people did like bring clothes to the drag balls and change to the drag balls. That was a thing as well. Cause like you're thinking like a bunch of men walking out in dresses at night, like how could they ever even, well, a lot of men like who did not pass for women did go to the balls with clothes and like put them on. That was part of the whole experience. It's kind of almost things. It almost kind of reminds me of maybe like the party glam box that my friends, our friends do at Trade, and how like, you know, just, you know, regular gay men who are putting on drag for the first time, or like they come to glam box regularly and religiously because this is the moment that they can really do drag.
But you know, also like these queer events with, you know, drag and drag performers and all that were not, it wasn't just gay people that were going.
Yeah.
It was totally straight people also that just were just so curious about like this pansy craze.
Yes, exactly. And the pansy craze. That's a really great term that should be also, that we should talk about too. It's like, it was the pansy men, the sissy men, which was used later in the 1920s.
But also, it was also the same time as the sapphic craze.
The
You gotta talk about those lesbos also.
Well, please, lead us.
Well, I mean, that's just what I'm saying. At the same time where it was the pansy craze, where men were, you know, really exploring their femininity and how to express that through their clothing, women were also doing the same. Very often when you would go to one of these clubs, there would be a woman in a beautiful like three-piece suit and a top hat, you know. And there were a lot of lesbian enclaves, you know, in Greenwich Village, in Harlem.
Well, yeah, there was, yeah, in the Village, yeah, in Harlem, there are these specific lesbian enclaves, especially black lesbian enclaves.
Right.
Like famous fucking writers like Zora Neale Hurston, such like be able to, and it wasn't, and that was another thing too, is just like during that time, if you look at the papers and the raids that happen on these queer spaces, there was a lot of branding of perverts and perversion and things like that, when it's really just people having drinks in a room.
Right.
And like laughing and hugging and like, maybe there's someone making out, but that's because that's the only time they can actually have human touch.
Right.
Without literally fearing for their lives.
But what's interesting is that it blew up, right? Everybody was just gay as fuck, running around, being their most fabulous selves.
Well, because it was also like
prohibition.
It was prohibition. And think about like the mindset of the most extreme. So like we had different periods of the most extreme throughout history. I would say the period of Henry VIII, the Tudor period, that's a period of extreme aesthetics.
Right.
Going into the Elizabethan. You can say that about Louis XIV. That is during the Baroque period, a period of extreme aesthetics.
Exactly. But what I was going to say is that it's wild because it blew up, and then it wasn't until Prohibition ended, and then, you know, another war was coming up, and then you had like the McCarthy trials, shit like that.
After, yeah,
you know, that was when the idea of the pervert and like sex crimes started to get really out of control. Like, this is when it started to rein back, and they started to turn the narrative back to, oh, they're the perverts, they're the miscreants, you know.
Well, because what was happening politically,
right,
the rise
of
fascism wrapped in socialism, in that little like soft glove of socialism, but it was really just hardcore fascism, redefining and re-legitimizing hard, strict gender roles, not just for women, but for men.
Right.
You know? And so, yes, that's, yes, that was happening because
the onset of the Depression, the onset of the coming Depression. Of World War II.
And it's, and again, we see these periods in which you have looming war that stops the spread of creativity.
Yeah.
Of the, you have these periods of economic depression that halts the spread of creativity, but does not halt creativity. Because,
never.
Again, in the 30s, that's when people really got creative with the underground.
Right.
And how to develop these different codes and different languages. And even when it comes to fashion, you know, especially in the gay community, developing these different codes through fashion, wearing certain things. I mean, like, later nowadays, we have the hanky codes that started, I really think it became popularized, I can say, in the 1970s.
Mm-hmm.
But there were other details about that, wearing flowers and different kinds of flowers on your suits.
Yeah.
And on the lapels. That became a certain thing or a different code. So it's interesting for, you know, LGBT, like, queer people. I can't go through all the damn...
Letters.
Let's just throw in the alphabet.
They're all under the queer umbrella.
Yes, throw in the whole alphabet, the whole salad. But going into, you know, thinking about, like, this queer identity and, like, the arc that it has made, it's interesting. Like, I do fear, are we in that space now?
That's what's so crazy. When you look back at history, it's like there will be these booming periods of time and then we're always pushed back under. Like,
yeah.
It was decades before there was that kind of, you know, queer celebration. It really wasn't until, like, the 70s when it started to come back. But then in the 80s and 90s with the HIV, you know, then it kind of went back under again.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just goes up and down and up and down.
Yes. Yeah. And, but nonetheless, the fashion is always something that really plays part in times of how to identify ourselves, how to identify each other. And then nowadays, fashion is about establishing our identity.
Absolutely.
To everyone else.
Yeah. And, you know, just like on a personal note, as far as that, you know, using fashion to express your queerness and stuff, like, it wasn't until I accepted my gender identity that I really started to celebrate and love my female body, you know,
yes.
and dress to, you know... celebrate it,
yes.
you know, but so I don't make an effort to dress more androgynous or anything like that. I just dress how I feel, whatever makes me comfortable, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, some people make more of an effort to make their look a little more gender free, but.
Oh, yeah. Well, also, too, like, you know, it's also interesting to, like, think about the fact that, like, in the 20s, we're also in the period of the bob.
Yeah.
And, like, we're already doing... That's another thing, too. Like I said before, it's about these extremisms in, like, creative expression, I mm-hmm. think, that really allows queer culture at this time to really develop because people were looking for so many extremes in new ideas.
Right.
So getting away from traditional Victorian values. Like, for instance, during the period of the 1920s in California, they had the largest number of cults.
Oh, my God.
Because all the young people who were trying to run away from their parents' old Victorian religious values
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
ran into new age or new thinking religious groups who became just as, like, strict.
Of course.
And just as oppressive.
Right.
But they thought they were doing something new by going to something they think was away from that.
Right.
You know,
I'm
going
to leave this one cult to go to this other cult.
To go to this other cult. I think I'll be okay.
I think it'll feel free.
They have cheese. No, like,
don't drink the Kool-Aid, though.
Don't drink the Kool-Aid, but they definitely have cheese. No, like, this is, and so, like, it's so wild, like, and also just, like, the whole idea of, like, the jazz age and, like, the music and everything like that. Again, like, this momentum, this push
mm-hmm.
to keep going and to keep exploring and to keep seeking out. New ideas and extremes. Like I said before, there's that wild video of, like, the extreme things people did in the 20s. I talked about those two chicks that were literally tap dancing on top of telephone poles.
Wild.
And I'm still like, how the hell did they get on telephone poles?
And how did they live?
And how did they stay on telephone poles? Because this wasn't a short video.
Right.
This is at least a good minute and a half of them tap dancing on this telephone pole.
Yeah.
Together.
Still in sync.
In sync. No, literally in sync.
Right.
You know they was practicing that because they ain't got TV.
Yeah.
So they had nothing to do but practice a tap dance on the telephone pole.
I don't know.
Can you imagine if we lived in the 20s? We'd be so dumb. We'd be doing some crazy shit.
We would be amazing.
We'd be doing some crazy shit.
We'd be doing all the crazy shit we're doing right now.
Like, I would probably be doing, like, drag shows.
Doing exactly what we're doing right now.
Yes, but I'd be doing drag shows in the back of a moving Rolls Royce.
Oh, my God.
Like, flying through the streets of the city.
Okay, well, let's just make that happen.
No, because that's when someone dies.
That's real.
But now, if I was in the 20s, I didn't give a shit.
But see, that's the thing.
Because I survived.
I'm very curious what you just said about, you know, how, like, I wonder if we're in that kind of period now.
Well, I mean, also, I mean, like, during the night during World War One was the Spanish flu.
Girl, that, you bringing it all back to coronavirus now?
So I didn't mean to.
It's too real.
Mondays keeps telling me I can't talk about the coronas.
It's too real. Don't feed the fear.
Oh, no, God. But I mean, like, it's kind of weird.
No, it is weird.
It's weird.
You're not wrong.
I'm not going to mention who I believe is, you know, responsible, because I feel like you're going to take me out. But yeah, you know we're watching us. You.
You know. You know that we know.
You know that we know. And I wish you would.
Right.
Because there's going to be a lot of people looking for you, especially nightclub owners, because you got rid of their money.
Ooh.
Come for me.
Also, RIP Rock and Roll Hotel.
Rock and Roll.
End of an era.
End of an
sign
era.
Of the times.
Sign of the times. But back to the gays, though.
Always. Into always bring it back to the gays.
Into the nightclubs. One thing that I think we failed to really mention, and I think it's such a big part of not just this part of history, but all of American history and drag history, mm-hmm. is that a lot of this started in the black nightclubs.
Mm-hmm.
We mentioned Chicago and Harlem, also D.C.
Totally.
Because as we just recently discovered.
Yeah.
But a lot of this started in the black nightclubs. And the fact that, like, it's also really interesting, it's a lot of, like, former slaves that were doing this.
Mm.
I wonder what... Have we really discussed gender roles in terms of male slaves during, like, before the Civil War and after the Civil War?
Mm-hmm.
What was that like?
Right.
Because you have, again, these gay men out of this period of oppression that are able to seek and find serious beauty and power in their own existence.
Yes.
And establishing their own existence and being able to communicate and, like, get together.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting. But you know what? Not as much, because again, black people have always done this during times of oppression. They're always able to communicate and rally because we've always been oppressed from communicating with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not surprised that they're able to rally like this and, like, get together and meet each other and organize. And B, because, again, they're born out of that history of doing that. So, yeah, I don't know. There's so many thoughts.
So many things.
Did you have another thing you wanted to mention? I saw you had this paper out here.
Well, I wanted to show you this cute-ass picture of this cross-dresser in the back of a paddy wagon just being completely fabulous. I'm going to put it on the Instagram.
Oh, yeah. Let's describe this picture. So... this is this beautiful, beautiful cross-dresser with some beautiful thighs.
Girl.
Beautiful thighs, wearing a satin bralette.
Yes.
And little skater skirt, mini skater skirt.
Mm-hmm. And a tiara, of course.
And a tiara. And long, not like super, super long, but like shoulder length, like really nice, thick, dark hair.
Mm-hmm.
And a nice, like, little dance pump. And she has her legs crossed, arms extended on the wall, leaning on the wall of the paddy wagon.
Yes.
And just, like, giving a big old smile.
Yes.
And this is circa 1939 mm-hmm. as well. And it's so wild, too, because, like, again, if you read, like, news articles, you're going to hear a lot about, oh, these men were cross-dressing and they were deviants and they were perverts and all this other stuff. But, like, let's be real. Like, how were people really existing in these spaces? What were people really doing? They were trying to, like, meet each other.
Be joyful.
And be joyful.
Yes.
And there's, nowadays, there's the photographers that were able to be in these spaces and take photos. Those photos are going more and more into the light of day mm-hmm. so that people can see them. And there's some beautiful photos of just performers, like, going to town and, like, you know, just beautifully done up and, like, also literally recreating things like the Ziegfeld Follies.
Yes.
In these nightclubs.
Mm-hmm.
And recreating Josephine Baker.
Right.
In these nightclubs. Just like drag does today.
Mm-hmm.
Just like drag does today. Well.
Ugh. It's all a circle. History is all a circle.
It's all a circle, darling.
And like I say, we don't know where we're going unless we know where we came from. So here we are.
Spanish flu. One at you. So
we out here.
Well, we are going to end it with the 1920s, and it's been a wonderful journey.
Truly roaring.
Been truly, truly roaring.
Yes.
There's so much more information about the 20s, and we will be sure that we post more information as we find it on Instagram and Facebook.
Yes.
On the Facebook group. Please join us on the Facebook group, The Beauty RKO. I've been posting a lot of articles and things like that. I do post a lot without necessarily a tag on it, just for discussion.
Yeah.
Just to put the information out there. So please discuss and share the things as much as you want to. And then on Instagram, follow us on our visual journey through mm-hmm. fashion history.
At the Beauty Archeo. And definitely, if you are listening to this today, please subscribe. Leave us a 5-star.
And
a comment.
And a comment. Leave us a comment. Talk to us.
We'll talk back.
You don't need to be shady. But no one's been shady with us so far because we've gotten some nice email comments, which I always appreciate.
Good vibes only.
Good vibes. But if you do listen to us, please comment on either Apple Podcasts or Full Service Radio or both. Actually, comment on both.
Both would be great.
Subscribe. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we just want this to get out there and expand more and do more projects with the Beauty Archeo.
Yeah,
so
trying to spread the word.
So help us out and spread the word. It is completely free to spread the word. Free for you and me. Someone's paying for it, but it's not us.
Yes. So you all have a wonderful weekend. Be ballsy, be brave.
Be ballsy, be brave. Mm-hmm. What else before we go?
Let your freak flag fly.
That I have been doing that. Actually, I haven't been doing that, frankly. I need to be doing that more.
Oh, and wash your hands.
Oh, wash your hands, y'all.
Wash your damn hands.
Wash your hands.
I don't know why this is a new idea.
Yeah, don't freak out. But
Alexia's like, stop talking.
I know. Are you putting on the Oscar?
You're done. Oh.
She's putting on the Oscar, like, your speech is done
the hook
music.
The hook came out.
The full orchestra is on. She's gradually turning up that volume. She's going to gradually fade us out, I feel like. Ooh, bye, you guys. Bye. The Beauty Archeo. We'll see you next time.